हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् गणानां त्वा गणपतिकं हवामहे कविं कवेनामुपमश्रवस्तीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् निराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ओके इन् छान्दोग्य उपनिषद् हेविङ्ग् कवर्ड् दि सिक्स्त् चाप्टर् नौ वी हाव् स्टार्टेड् दि सेवेन्त् चाप्टर् entitled as Bhuma Vidya Adhyayaha, where the absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman is revealed as implied by the word Bhuma. As I told you, the word Bhuma is a synonym of the word Brahma. So Bhuman and Brahman mean the same. The only difference is Brahman is a neutral gender word. Bhuman is a masculine gender word. Brahman also means that which is of the nature of limitlessness. And Bhuma also means that which is of nature of infinitude, limitlessness. And here we saw the disciple Naradaha approached the teacher Sanat Kumaraha and asked for Jnanam. And before he made very specific what he wanted to know, asked by his teacher Sanat Kumara, Narada actually presented the list of all the qualifications he has acquired. And which we saw in the very first section, the second mantra, all the qualifications that Narada had gained. Already he was highly qualified. But even though Narada was highly qualified, he was known for his erudition and scholarship. One thing that Narada lacked was Atma Vidya, Atma Jnanam. He was ignorant of the knowledge of the self, knowledge of the truth, as a result of which he was like any other human being, any other ordinary person. He was also subject to sorrow, that he himself tells in the first section, the third mantra. He mentions that aham mantra videva asmi na atmavit. I am only the knower of mantras. I have learnt all the four Vedas, but I'm only the knower of mantras. I do not know the meaning of the mantras. which means I do not, I'm na atmavit, I'm not the knower of the self. I do not know the self, but I know the mantras. Which means, he also himself says that atmavit shokam tarati is a very most important and famous quotation. Atmavit shokam tarati. The knower of the self overcomes sorrow is a fact, and he says, and this sentence, Atmavit Shokam Tarati, this statement, which is a statement of fact, that knower of self overcomes sorrow. He says, I heard this statement from many great people like you. Bhagavad Drishebhyaha Shrutam Maya. I heard this from great people like you, that Atmavit Shokam Tarati. Therefore, what he says, Aham Shochami, I do grieve. In spite of the erudition, in spite of the scholarship, in spite of all the learning I have, I am still grieving. I do become sorrowful. Aham shochami. Therefore, so shokasya param tarayatu. This was his request. Shokasya param tarayatu. Help me overcome the sorrow. Help me cross the ocean of sorrow, which is samsara. He asked. So this was requested by actually Narada. So this is the basis for the verses we come across in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The very first verse, Atmavit Shokam Tarati, is the basis for Krishna saying what? Panditaha na anushochanti. You can understand now which is the source of which. Which is the source of which you can make out. Which is the source of which you can make out. Is it? Upanishad is the authentic source of the Smriti, Bhagavad Gita. So, Panditaha na anushochanti, wise people do not grieve at all. That statement he could say there, because it is already said in the Upanishad, Atmavit Shokam Tarati. One who knows the self overcomes sorrow. Therefore, he asked, okay, now, shokasya param tarayatu. If anybody comes and asks, any teacher, if any disciple asks, help me overcome sorrow, all that the teacher should do is what? Give him self-knowledge. Teach him the nature of the self. Because other than the self-knowledge, which is nothing but the knowledge of the reality of every being, the whole. Therefore, it's also called Brahma Vidya, or which otherwise called knowledge of Bhagavan, the understanding of the Ishvara, which alone will help one resolve sorrow. Why? Because what is the cause of sorrow? What causes sorrow? What is the root cause of sorrow? We may think that hundreds of problems in our life cause sorrow. But all the problems also really seem to be problems. Only as long as, you know, as long as this ignorance is there. If this ignorance of the self is resolved, then you can see that all the so-called problems also will resolve for good. It's only in perspective change the problems will resolve. Therefore, what is the root cause of sorrow if you say, the dukkhasya karanam is what? Apurnatvam. Apurnatvam, the sense of smallness, the sense of insecurity, the sense of limitations centered on I is the cause of the sorrow. And then apurnatvam, the sense of smallness, sense of insecurity, sense of inadequacy and smallness centered on I is due to the self-ignorance. Therefore, the self-ignorance is the root cause of the samsara, the sorrow. And resolving the self-ignorance is the only means of resolving sorrow, freeing oneself from sorrow. Therefore, this Anand Kumaraha knows, but how to give him the self-knowledge, how to make him arrive at this self. And instead of directly saying, this is what the self is, this is how the self is, This is how the reality is. He wants to help Narada arrive at the self gradually, step by step. Arrive at the self gradually. How? And this, the methodology used in teaching to help the person arrive at the subtlest reality, abstract reality, gradually, is called Shakha Chandra Nyaya or Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. We have used these two methodologies. So Arundhati is also a very, very tiny star, and for discovering that, distinguishing that one tiny star from all other stars, you know, in the vast sky, is also what involves effort. You can't just take somebody and, come on, see, this is what is Arundhati. You can't show like that. You have to, you know, to help a person to exactly to locate the Arundhati, you have to take the person step by step, show him step by step. In the same way, when in this in Shakha Chandra Nyaya also, it is not that you have to show a full moon, which is shining in the sky, very bright moon on full moon day. Do you need any step-by-step teaching? No. You can directly show this moon. You can show. It's easy to see a brightest moon, isn't it? Whereas here, the third digit, the third day, digit of the moon, after new moon day. After new moon, the third day, digit of the moon, the thinnest digit of the moon is there in the sky. Especially in the monsoon time also. And somebody has to see that third day digit of the moon. Isn't it? Chandra, no? Chandra Rekha. So it's like thin line of the moon is there in the sky. And you have to show. And where is it? It is in between, two really twigs. And the two twigs are where? In one branch. And which are those branch? There are many branches in the tree. So you can't directly show the moon, the digit of the moon. You show the person, first of all, from the place where you are standing or sitting, you have to show something right in front of you. You can show a road. Then beyond the road, you can show some houses. And beyond those houses, you can show one big tree. Start from the big tree. You see a big tree. And how huge is the trunk? You start from the grossest and take him slowly to the thinnest one, small one. So big trunk of the tree. You take this person's attention along with you to show him the big trunk of the tree. Do you see the big trunk of the tree? Yes. And when the person's mind, attention is fixed to the big trunk of the tree, from there you help him shift the attention to the many branches of the tree. And from there you show two other separate branches which are tall branches. And then in between the branches you show him what? This moon, digit of the moon. When you want to show something which is small, tiny, abstract, difficult to locate, then you always use this methodology. Take him from the grossest to the subtlest. Then it will be easy for the person to arrive at it without any vagueness, any difficulty. So here also, now Narada asked Sanat Kumaraha to teach him, to give him the self-knowledge, to vision of the self, vision of the truth, of the whole as his own self. Now, Narada Sachin are not an ordinary minded. He is a highly sophisticated, highly learned person. So, naturally, he must be subtle, very, very highly subtle-minded person. He was easily taught. Even then, Sanat Kumara did not teach him directly. He wants to take him slowly, gradually to the self. So in order to help do that, he started teaching Upasanam. He introduces the topic of Upasanam as a preparatory discipline. It's exactly like how in Taittiriya Upanishad, what is Brahmanandaha? What is that fullness which is nature of the very reality? To arrive at the Brahmananda, the Upanishad starts from Manushyananda. What is, which is one unit of Ananda. From there he takes one or step by step to Brahmananda. In the same way here also Upanishad presents what now introduces the Upasanas. And actually after this, in the second section onwards, first section onwards actually Upasanas begin. On this, the whole chapter, seventh chapter, the 26 sections, all the 26 sections, only the last four sections discuss the Bhuma Vidya. Until then, in 15 sections, we are going to see the 15 Upasanams. Which means, Anant Kumara is going to help Narada go through these 15 steps gradually, take him one by one. While teaching the meditation as a preparatory discipline, he also uses these steps to go through them, thereby to arrive at exactly what Bhuma is, what Brahman is, what the reality is, what the self is. Is it clear? That we have to see here. Okay. Atha saptamodhyayaha. Okay, in the first section, the seventh chapter, the first section, go to the fourth mantra. In that fourth mantra of the first chapter, the seventh chapter, first section, first Upasanam is introduced. First meditation, which means now, don't forget this. Definitely, Sanat Kumaraha is going to help Narada arrive at the Bhuma. When Narada is going to arrive, understand the Bhuma, the Brahman, the absolute reality, the Atma, then we are also supposed to understand Atma along with Narada. So he is going to now, who is taking us along with Narada? We are all holding on to Narada's hands, okay? And we are also understanding along with Narada. And who is teaching us here? Sakshat Sanat Kumara. Himself is our teacher now. He is going to teach us. And first, he introduces the Upasanam, first Upasanam in the fourth section, the fourth mantra of the first section. And he says, before he introduces this Upasanam, he says, Sanat Kumaraha tells Narada, all that you have learnt, all that you have studied, the knowledge you have gained is only a knowledge of the words. Okay? You have learnt the, you have only attained, you have gained the knowledge of the words. You have not gained the knowledge of the substance, meaning of the words. Which means, now you can understand, whatever knowledge we have, other than the self-knowledge, if at all we have knowledge of anything, our knowledge is of the words only. We do not, our knowledge is not of the meaning of the words. Our knowledge is of the substantives. Our knowledge is not of the substance. Which means apara vidya, knowledge of the self is knowledge of the reality, and any knowledge of anything other than the self is not para vidya, it's only apara vidya. And apara vidya means what? Apara vidya means knowledge of merely the words. It is not our job the meaning of the words. It is like understanding. If you know there is a way, you have the knowledge of the word. If you say wave is water, this knowledge of the meaning of the words. Is it clear now? So knowledge of the substantives is aparavidya, and knowledge of the substance is paravidya. Knowledge of the self is Brahma. Knowledge of Brahman is paravidya, and knowledge of anything other than Brahman is aparavidya. Because any knowledge of the object, anything within the realm of the objective universe is aparavidya. And that knowledge is useful or useless, we never undermine any knowledge. Aparavidya is also very useful. It is highly revered, but we have to understand the limitation of the aparavidya, that it does not have the capacity to resolve your sorrow. Dukkha nivruttyartham aparavidya is not useful. Okay, aparavidya, limitation of aparavidya is that it does not help you resolve your sorrow. For which you need only atmavidya, you need only knowledge of the self. But first here, he says, whatever you have learnt is only what now? Your knowledge is only of the words. You do not have knowledge of the meaning of the words. That who says, whom? Sanat Kumaraha says, to Narada. And now he says the fourth mantra. All the four Vedas, look at him, he says Rig Vedaha, Yajur Vedaha, Sama Vedaha, Atharvanaha, Chaturthaha. All the four Vedas, what are the four Vedas? All these four Vedas, knowledge of all the four Vedas also, you need knowledge of the words. Aparavidya. What about itihasaha, puranaha? Knowledge of the historical stories obtaining in the Vedas. Knowledge of the words. Puranaha. Knowledge of the mythological stories obtaining in the Vedas. Knowledge of the words. Panchamaha vedanam vedaha. What about knowledge of grammar? Which with the help of which alone you can understand the Veda. A knowledge of vyakaranam, grammar also is what? Knowledge of the words. Now leave alone everything else now. Pitriyaha. The knowledge of anything to do with your ancestral worship, mathematics, logics, or even your law. You know, all these knowledge varieties. And he says, Pitriyaha, Rashihi, Daivaha, Nidhihi, Vako Vakyam, Ekayanam, Deva Vidya, Brahma Vidya, Bhuta Vidya, Kshatra Vidya, Nakshatra Vidya, Sarpa Deva Jana Vidya, Sarpa Vidya, Deva Jana Vidya, Nama Yeva Yetat. That's the last sentence, very important word is what? Nama Yeva Yetat. Yetat means what? This is, then this knowledge of all these various subjects, various sciences, is only knowledge of the mere words. He just enumerates all those different disciplines. Knowledge of all these different sciences, different disciplines, is only knowledge of mere words. Nama Yeva Yetat. Okay. Now he tells, hey Narada, understand one thing. Brahman, absolute reality, the Atma, obtaining as a self of every being, is definitely not the word. Understand? But every word is Brahma. Every name is Brahma. He says, may you meditate upon the Nama, every word, all these words, names, as Brahma. Okay, visualize, seeing, meditating upon these words as Brahma is called what? Nama Brahma Upasanam. This is the first meditation. Nama Brahma Upasana means what? See, now you don't need to do anything specially here. Understanding every word is Brahma. Every term is Brahma. Every name is Brahma. When I say name, Nama means what? Name. Name is what? Name is a word, a term, indicating, implying, pointing out a given person or object or thing. Therefore, Nama, every word is what? Brahma. So, Nama Brahmeti Upasva, he says, may you meditate upon the words, names as Brahma. So, meditating upon the words as Brahma, seeing all these words as Brahma is what? Nama Brahma Upasanam or Shabda Brahma Upasanam. How do we say this? Explained to you in the, some classes ago, I told you, Shabdaha, sound, a word is a sound, a term is a sound, a meaningful sound. What is a word? Word is a meaningful, artha purvakam, purvakaha shabdaha. Any word uttered, a name or a word, a term is what? A meaningful sound. We make that this meaningless sound, isn't it? So, word is a meaningful sound. And what is a meaningful sound here? A word is, in fact, expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. And manifest knowledge is nothing but knowledge, isn't it? Manifest knowledge is knowledge. And what is the word? Word is expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. Therefore, what is word? Word is an effect, isn't it? Word is an effect. And therefore, the thought obtaining from unexpressed word is what? Subtle thought. Expressed thought is what? Word. Thought expressed is word. Word unexpressed is thought. And what is a thought? Word expressed is what? Manifestation of knowledge. And what is manifestation of knowledge? Manifest knowledge is knowledge. Therefore, what is a word? Word is knowledge. Therefore, word is what? Brahma. May you meditate upon word as Brahma. Word is Brahma. Word as Brahma. Is it clear now? Called Nama Brahma Upasanam. Shabda Brahma Upasanam. Now, he starts from where? He starts from the grossest. You have to go step by step. Okay? You will see the beauty. You see the beauty of it. Now, the fifth mantra of the first section, the Upasana Phalam is mentioned. After every Upasanam, in every section we are going to see Upasanam. And after every Upasanam, there will be mention of this Phalam, the benefit of meditation. Phalashruti is also there. What do I gain if I practice this meditation? If I can see every word is Brahma. Now, if meditating upon every word as Brahma, that Upasanam, that's a meditation. And what is the benefit of meditation? It is said in the fifth mantra. He says, one thing I have to remember here, if a person practices meditation as a Nishkama Upasanam, what Nishkama Upasanam? Without being attached to the fruit of meditation, a person practices meditation for his mental purity and mental steadiness, definitely he will be blessed with mental steadiness and purity along with the actual result of meditation. Your person practices as a Sakama Upasanam, practices this for the given result of the meditation, is called Sakama Upasanam. Then definitely he will be blessed with the given result of the meditation. isn't it? The person who practices this as Nishkama Upasanam, he will enjoy the benefit of practicing meditation. Along with that, he'll also have what? Mental purity and steadiness. If a person practices this exclusively only for the benefit of meditation, it's called Sakama Upasanam, then he will have only that result. Saha Yaha Nama Brahme Tupaste Yavat Namnaha Gatam Tatra Asya Tatrasi Yatha Kamacharo Bhavati. The meditator will be as pervasive as the word. As pervasive as the word means what? The meditator will be as pervasive as the word means, he will be more popular, he will be more recognized. So, when he said this, Narada immediately asks, if practicing meditation upon the word as Brahman will help me become more pervasive like the word, then he wants to know, is there anything which is superior to the word, which I can meditate upon? So what is that which is superior than the word in terms of pervasiveness? Is there bhuyan? Namnaha bhuyaha iti. He asti bhagavaha namnaha bhuyaha iti. Then what he says, asti bhagavaha namnaha bhuyaha, what now? Is there anything which is superior to the name or greater than the name in terms of pervasiveness? And then Narada says, Sanat Kumar says, yes, of course, definitely, there is something superior to the word. What is that which is superior to the word? He is going to say, if there is the... So here ends the first section. The first section is over. It's all old lessons, okay? I just repeat because I am doing the class after a long time. Now we are entering into the second section. Second section, in the first mantra, Sanat Kumaraha repeats all that what has been said earlier. He adds some more words also. He says, what is superior to the word is the organ of speech. When you say word, word means what? Speech, isn't it? So the speech, now what is superior to the speech? What is more pervasive of the speech is superior to the speech. Whatever can pervade the speech is greater than the speech, greater than the word. How do we say it is more pervasive? No, the organ of speech called Vag Indriyam. He used the term Vag. Vag here does not mean speech. Vag here means Vag Indriyam. The organ of speech, vak, is superior to the nama, the name, the shabda, the word. Why? Because only if the organ of speech is functional, only through the organ of speech, the word can get expressed. The expression of word is only through the organ of speech. Therefore, organ of speech is like the cause. The speech, the word is like the effect. So, always cause is pervasive of the, cause pervades the effect, isn't it? Just as clay pervades the pot, or water pervades the wave, gold pervades the ornament, wood pervades the furniture, cause pervades the effect. An organ of speech is like the cause and the word is like the effect. Therefore, what? The organ of speech is more pervasive. is greater in terms of pervasiveness than the speech, than the word. Organ of speech is greater in terms of pervasiveness, greater than the word, name. Therefore, now he says, all these he is going to say, the second mantra he says, may you meditate upon the organ of speech as Brahma. The second section, in the first mantra, he says, may you meditate upon the organ of speech as Brahman. Vag Brahmeti Upasva. So it's called what? Vag Brahma Upasanam or Vag Indriya Brahma Upasanam. Two meditations are over. Is it clear? This was the last class lesson. In the same way, in the second mantra or the second section, the result of meditation is mentioned. What is the benefit of practicing this meditation? You can understand. If Vagindriyam is more pervasive, you know, is greater in terms of pervasiveness than the name, your person meditating upon Vagindriyam will be more pervasive like the Vagindriyam. He'll be, any meditation will be result in what? He can become as pervasive as the word. So becoming as pervasive as the word, becoming as pervasive as the more pervasive like the organ of speech means he will be more recognized, he'll be more popular. That's what is to be understood. Understand? Pervasive means not that physically he pervades everything. Literate means what? He'll be more recognized person. You have more, greater recognition. That is the benefit of practicing this meditation. So enjoying much greater recognition is the benefit of practicing meditation upon organ of speech as Brahman. Because it's not meditating, mean what, physically really sitting and focusing here. Seeing the fact how organ of speech is really greater than the word. What is the word? The word will be non-existent if there is something called organ of speech is not there. What about the animals? Why animals? Animals, they may communicate. That's a different thing. But they don't speak. Speech is something amazing, isn't it? Well, speech is what? Through which you express all your ideas. And the speech is possible only because of this organ of speech, Vagindriyam. Isn't it? That Vagindriyam also is capable of functioning because of the blessing of the reality. Therefore, may you meditate upon the Vagindriyam as Brahma. Brahman, Bhuma, Atma is not the organ of speech, but the organ of speech is what? Atma the Brahma. Meditate upon organ of speech, Vagindriyam as Brahma. And it's the second, we are going to count 15 meditations, okay? Please remember, Nama Brahma Upasanam or Shabda Brahma Upasanam, number one. Now we have second Upasanam is what? Vagindriya Brahma Upasanam, second one. And what is the benefit? If it is Nishkama Upasanam, I'll have mental purity, mental steadiness along with greater recognition. If I practice at Sakama Upasanam, I may not have mental steadiness and mental purity. Definitely I'll have more recognition. Okay. That is the benefit. With the second section also is over. Then comes at the end of the second section, again Narada asks, is there anything which is greater than the organ of speech in terms of pervasiveness? So I can practice meditation upon, I can meditate upon that. So I'll become much more pervasive than this. And he says what? Yes. There is something which is superior to the organ of speech in terms of pervasiveness. It's greater than the organ of speech. What is that? That is introduced in the third section. Tritiyaha Khandaha comes. What is that? Let us see that now mantra now. It's all new mantra. Now we are going to see. This is a new class begins only now. Manovava. Manovava. Vacho bhoyaha. Manovava vacho bhoyaha. Vachaha bhuyaha means greater than the organ of speech. Vachaha bhuyaha. Superior to the organ of speech, greater than the organ of speech is manaha. Manaha here means what? Manaha, don't take literally as the mind here. The word manaha here means the desire, will. How? Because he says, he gives example. See, there is the organ of speech and there is the word, isn't it? The word and the vag and the vagindriyam. Word, name and the organ of speech, these are felt by the mind. Mind alone feels the organ of speech. Mind alone knows the capacity to speak. Mind alone knows what? Feels the word also. Like what? He gives example. Yatha vai dve va amalake, dve va kole, dvau va akshau. You want to read after me? Say now, yatha vai dve va amalake, dve va kole, dvau va akshau, mushtihi anubhavati, yevam vachamcha, namacha, manaha anubhavati. See, he mentions the name of some fruits. Okay, amalakam, English word I know, gooseberry. A kola, no, badri palam. Are the two different varieties of fruits. Kola palam, akshi palam. Suppose if you keep any fruit, for that example, any fruit if a person holds in his hands, is called mushtihi. If somebody holds the fruits in his hand like this, he can't keep the open, like hands like this, hold the fruit. Holding the fruit in the hand means what? Keeping the fruit like this. No, this, then it's called mushtihi. The person holding the fruit in the hand, then mushtihi anubhavati. The hand feels the fruit. The hands alone feel the fruits held in the hand. Similarly, he says, manaha vacham namacha anubhavati. Similarly, mind feels experiences the word and the organ of speech. Mind experiences the word and the organ of speech. Therefore, he says, next sentence, saha yada manasa manasyati. When a person, no, manasa manasyati, mentally he desires. Desiring is mental. Okay, I don't need to say mentally desires means what? Mentally desires means, manasa manasyati means, when a person entertains desire in the mind. When a person wills. Manasyati means desires. Isn't it? Desires. Desires to speak. Desires to see. Desires to hear. Desires to smell. Desires to taste. Desires to do. The desire to do or desire to speak is called what? Manasyanam. Manasyati, Upanishad uses its own verb. Okay? Manasa manasyati. When a person Manasyati means what Shankara says. Manasyati means antahkaranena manasyati means. What is manasyati? Vaktum icchati. Manasyati means vaktum icchati. Desires to speak. Manasyanam means vivaksha buddhihi. The desire to speak, entertaining the desire to speak is called what? Vivaksha buddhihi. So he says, before doing anything, naturally there must occur what? First desire should come, isn't it? The desire, the action presuppose what? Desire. Desire must be there. Only then any performance of any action is possible. Therefore, what is superior to walk now? Organ of speech is there. What is superior to organ of speech is manasyanam. Manaha. Manaha means what here? The desire to speak. Desire to speak or desire to perform, desire to do, the desire or will obtaining in the form of a thought, which is known by the term manaha, is superior to the organ of speech. Is it clear? Now he is going to say here, Saha yada manasa manasyati. Say now. Saha yada manasa manasyati. Only when the person entertains the desire to do something, what does he say? Suppose it's like saying, is mantran adhiye, mantran adhiye iti, atha adhite, atha adhite. Suppose adhite, a person learns mantras. Atha, then he learns mantras. When does a person learn mantras? Mantran adhiye. Let me learn mantras. The first, the desire should rise in the mind as what? Let me learn mantras. The desire should rise. Then only what now? He learns mantras. Then, karmani kurviye iti. Iti manasyati. The person entertains the desire, what now? To do action, to perform actions, to perform rituals. Let me do karma. When the person has entertains the desire to do karma, only then he performs karma. He performs rituals. Atha kurute, atha kurute. So karmani kurviye iti manasyati. This person desires in his mind, let me do karma. Then he performs the karma, performs the rituals. Not only that, putramscha pashumscha iccheya. Now let me have desire for wealth in the form of cattle. Let me have children. Even desire for offspring must be there. Okay? Let me have child. Let me have child. Let me have children. Let me have children. And let me have cattle, wealth of cattle. So any desire, even to possess wealth in the form of children. Children are wealth, okay? Don't think burden. It's a pain. According to Shastram, children are wealth. So, putramscha iccheya. Then, let me have children. And let me have pashun. Cattle also what? Let me have some cows and goats and all that. No, wealth. Cattle is wealth. In Vedic culture, cattle also is wealth. Let me have some cows and goats, etc. So, pashumscha iccheya. Let me desire to have some children. Let me have desire to have some of wealth of cattle. So, when a person wants to possess anything also, before possessing, he must have the desire to possess. So, understand. So, desire to possess, he entertains first. Then only he possesses wealth in any form. It can be children, it can be cattle wealth. Then he says, imam cha, lokam, amum cha, iccheye, iccheya, iti, icchate. Therefore, whether this word or that word, let me go to this word, let me enjoy this, let me do this, let me have this, let me possess this, let me speak this. So before doing anything, the desire rises in the form of a thought in his mind. Only then that gets what the desire gets translated in the form of an action. For action presupposes desire. So organ of speech is what now? Organ of speech can be activated, can become functional. Thereby the word can come out, emerge, only if the desire to speak is there. But what is greater than the organ of speech? So, listen, first we say nama, the word. Organ of speech is greater than the speech obtaining in the form of a word or name. Now we say what? The desire or will obtaining in the form of a thought in one's mind is greater, superior to the very organ of speech, because of which alone the organ of speech can become functional, thereby the word can emerge, the word can come into existence. Therefore he says now what? Manohyatma, manohi lokaha, manohi brahma,
manohi brahma.
Therefore, what is the Atma here means what? The source of all these things, actions, is the mind. All the actions originate from mind, exist in mind, resolve in mind. Therefore, the worlds are mind. All the objects, all the objective, the universe, the objects is what now? The entire objective universe, obtaining in the form of objects are what? The words. The words are what? The organ of speech. Organ of speech is what? Ultimately, mind. Desire. The form of a thought, isn't it? Therefore, he says, everything is mind. Therefore, mind is superior to the organ of speech. You can say mind is superior to any organ of action. Organ of speech is specifically mentioned here. You have to understand the fact, organ of the mind, mind means what? The desire obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind is superior to any organ of action. Because without the desire, without the function of manasyanam, manasyanam means what? The desire to do. In entertaining, the desire to do something is called a manasyanam. In this context, the desire to speak. Therefore, that is superior to the organ of speech also. Therefore, he says what? Mano brahmetyupasva brahma, manohi brahma, manohi brahma, mana upasva, mana upasva. Now may you meditate. See, simply glorifying. Hey, mind is Atma. Mind is the self. Mind is the world. And mind is what? Brahma. Which means, from the standpoint of the organs of actions, organ of speech, the standpoint of the words, the standpoint of the object indicated by the words, mind is superior. When something is superior, you mean that as what? You say it is Atma. Mind is considered, glorified here as Atma, Brahma, all the worlds are mind. Why do you say? From the standpoint of the objects indicated by the words, from the standpoint of the words, the standpoint of the organs of actions, Mind means what? The desire obtaining in the form of a thought indicated by the word mind here is superior. Therefore, mind is glorified as what? All the lokas are the mind. Atma is the mind. And here you say what? My mind is Brahma. Therefore, may you meditate upon mind as Brahma. It's called what now? Mano Brahma Upasanam. Mano Brahma Upasanam means what? Meditation upon mind as Brahma. Meditation upon mind as Brahma means meditating upon the desire or will obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind as Brahman is Mano Brahma Upasanam. Third meditation. You're all with me, no?
Yes.
Are you all with me or not?
Yes.
Okay. This is the third meditation. And here also what now? The next mantra is what? Palashruti. So what is the benefit of practicing meditation upon mind as Brahma? That is said in the next mantra. With that, the section is over. Saha yo mano brahmetyupaste mano brahmetyupaste yavan manaso gatam tatrasya yatha kamacharo bhavati yo mano brahmetyupaste brahmetyupaste. Upani repeats his sentence. Yo mano brahmetyupaste. Yaha manaha brahma iti upaste. He who meditates upon this desire or will obtaining in her thought in mind as Brahma. See, don't take desire for granted, okay? Desire is, what is desire? It's a function of mentation. The part of function of minding now. What is here? Manasyanam is a function. What is manasyanam? Entertaining the desire in the form of a thought. The mind, desire should rise, isn't it? It's also Brahma. This desire is Brahma. So seeing is desire or will, because of which alone any action is possible, without which the enjoyment of phalam is not possible, that mind is also what? Brahma. Desire is Brahma. So, yaha manaha brahma iti upaste. He who meditates upon this desire or will obtaining in the form of a thought in the mind as Brahman, that person, yavat manasaha gatam, just as, no, how much the mind pervades, so does he, what now, move freely at his will. The meditator can move freely at his will in keeping with the pervasiveness of the mind. This person becomes as pervasive as the mind means what? He becomes subtler in terms of understanding, which means he becomes more and more recognized person, more popular. Do you see that now? Very subtle. Something nice. Isn't it to understand? Upanishad just uses the term manaha. And you have to really understand what manaha here means what? Manasyanam. Manasyanam means what? Manasyati. Manasyati means what? Desires to do something. Desires to speak something. Therefore, how? Without the desire to do, action is not possible. Without the desire to speak, speaking is not possible. Isn't it? Without speaking, the word cannot get expressed. Okay. Now here again, Narada asks. What does he ask? Asti bhagavo manaso bhuyaha. He bhagavaha. Asti manaso bhuyaha. Is there anything which is superior to the mind? Is there anything which is greater than the mind in terms of pervasiveness? What is greater than the mind? That without which this is not possible is what? Greater, isn't it? The cause is always superior to the effect. So whatever is understood to be superior becomes what? A relative cause. Do you see that now? So here, asti bhagavo manaso bhoyaha. I'm going to repeat the sentence, okay? Asti bhagavo manaso bhoyaha. Manasaha bhoyaha asti. Hey Bhagavan, O Lord, is there anything which is there something which is superior to this mind? Greater than the mind. What mind? Greater than this phenomenon called desire, obtaining in the form of thought in the mind. He is asking. He says what immediately? Manaso vava bhuyo asti. Manaso vava bhuyaha asti iti. Then that Sanatkumara says, of course, there is manaso vava bhuyaha asti. Manaso vava bhuyosti. Definitely, that is something greater than this phenomenon called will or desire obtaining in the form of thought in the mind. Oh, what is that which is superior to the mind? What is greater than that mind? Desire, isn't it? Tanme Bhagavan Bravitu. Tanme Bhagavan Bravitviti. Tanme Bhagavan Bravitu iti. Bhagavan, may you, Lord, tell me that, what is that which is superior to even this phenomenon called, superior to this phenomenon called desire or will obtain in the form of a thought. Iti tritiyaha khandaha. This is the third section. Now we are going into what now? Fourth section, fourth meditation.